versus Rock, Ms. Christensen.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Joanna Christensen. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant, Timothy Rock, in this matter. In order to sustain a conspiracy conviction for the sale of narcotics, this court has required a showing that of a prolonged and actively pursued a course of sale, coupled with the seller's knowledge of and shared stake in the buyer's illegal venture.
Well, according to your opponent, you didn't file a reply brief, so I'm interested in your answer. Your opponent thinks you've completely misunderstood the basis for the conspiracy finding. You think this is a question of whether a seller and a buyer are conspiring together. The government thinks, no, it's the seller conspiring with what, this other fellow, Altman?
Allman.
But that's the which would of course be much more conventional, horizontal conspiracy. So do you have a response?
Well, in response, I would believe that the government has misconstrued the conspiracy in this matter. There was a conspiracy, and that conspiracy, the evidence showed, was between Allman, Bieberstock, and Thompson to provide methamphetamine.
Oh, you don't think Rock was a member of that conspiracy?
He was their supplier. He agreed to sell them, as a seller, 1 pound of methamphetamine for $20,000.
But now, Rock and Allman are clearly partners, aren't they?
I don't believe the evidence reflects that. Allman knew of him, but had never dealt with him before.
Yeah, but they go to the park district or whatever, the forest, and watch the arrest being conducted, and then they discuss, you know, how they're going to conceal evidence. Why isn't that conspiratorial activity?
That
has nothing to do with being a seller and a buyer.
It has nothing to do with the agreement for Rock to sell the drugs to Allman, Bieberstock, and Thompson. They're together during the transaction with Detective Lamb because Mr. Rock is waiting for his payment.
So why can't a jury infer, particularly because, you know, we're here on plain error review, that at least for purposes of this transaction, Rock joins his group. They are all in a common cause. They've all agreed with each other. They're going to get this rather large amount of methamphetamine transferred to Lamb. And in that sense, there's a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy to engage in a two-year business, but it is a conspiracy. It's an agreement to make this transaction happen. And even though, as you point out, in some cases conspiracies are long-term, they don't have to be. It has to be an agreement.
The long-term, the timing factor is one of the factors.
Sometimes the factor, but if there's agreement that we're all going to get together, there was a conspiracy to fly into the World Trade Towers, and we hope that was a one-time event, but, you know, it was a conspiracy to do a particular thing.
Well, in all due respect, Your Honor, I think it's vastly different from that conspiracy in that this took place over less than 2 days.
Right.
They had no prior contact with Mr. Rock. And they had no planned contact with Mr. Rock if this had succeeded and gone on.
Why do they need the long term if they're all in a common cause and they've all agreed to make this deal happen? They're all working to sell this amount of the drug.
I'm not saying that the long-term aspect of a conspiracy is the only factor the court should consider. I'm saying is that there is not enough of any of the factors delineated by the court in the jury instruction or by this court in its case law to rise to the level of conspiracy. I agree that there was a conspiracy, but it did not involve Mr. Rock. He was the supplier to the conspiracy. He didn't agree with them on anything that they had agreed to before, and in fact was not going to benefit from their sale to Detective Lamb. He didn't know that they were actually selling methamphetamine for $23,000 and didn't know that they were going to profit from the sale. I think that's strong evidence that he was not part of their conspiracy. If he had been, it would have been a joint venture, and there wouldn't have been the disparity in the amount that the methamphetamine was sold for. Another important factor in this case is the lack of trust between the parties. Mr. Rock didn't trust any of these gentlemen with a pound of methamphetamine, particularly after they told him that he wasn't going to get his $20,000. He was someone that, he was clearly a dealer and wanted to do a transaction. I will give you something if you pay me what the something is worth. When he found out that they weren't going to do that, he changed the terms and says, I'm not going to let you do that. I will give you half. You get me the full $20,000. It eventually changed, but not to Mr. Rock's knowledge until, of course, after the case transpired. The Beaverstock and Thompson went to the Detective Lamb and said, he wants all of the money. Detective Lamb said, no, I'll give him half. So Rock was not part of this conspiracy. He was merely providing the drugs for the conspiracy.
But the jury rejected, I mean, I realize you're out of time. The jury rejected the buyer-seller instruction.
Yes, they did.
It's not like they weren't alerted to it.
No, it was given, and they did reject it. But again, in conclusion, if I may, I don't believe that the evidence supports such a conviction.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Christensen. Mr. Brooklyn?
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm here on behalf of the government, and I'm asking this court to affirm the defendant's drug conspiracy conviction in this matter. I think, as the court correctly pointed out right off the bat, the main problem with the appellant's argument is that it tries to force this case into the buyer-seller conspiracy type of analysis, and it simply isn't that sort of a conspiracy.
But there is a buyer-seller. I mean, it's a multi-level distribution chain, and there's a buyer-seller element to it. I would say you should be standing there feeling really glad that you lost your effort to prevent the jury from hearing the buyer-seller instruction, because however many sales and purchases took place, the jury had before it the notion that that's not enough to make a conspiracy.
And I wasn't there at trial, so if I had been the trial counsel, I may have been happier about that. But as I read the transcript, which is just the same as you, I think there was a real question of whether there was evidence sufficient to even support the buyer-seller instruction. I think the defense, is my reading of the transcript at least, the defense counsel had really abandoned the buyer-seller defense for the most part during the trial. But nevertheless, just as a precaution and just as kind of a belt and suspenders approach, the buyer-seller was thrown in there. And certainly for appeals purposes, that was a good idea.
But it does seem like Rock is there, you know, with access to large quantities, and then somewhere in the middle you have Allman and Beaverstock and Thompson, and then they thought, you know, down at the bottom was Lamb, who wanted to buy this stuff. Why is that not the right way to look at this?
Well, look, I'll freely admit this is a very short term. It's a fairly simple conspiracy. But the problem with the appellant's analysis is that Mr. Rock, Delbert Allman, who came to him, the manufacturer of the methamphetamine, or the cook, who they identified, I think, as Jason Day, and Mr. Beaverstock and Mr. Thompson, who had procured the buyer, they're all on the seller's side of the buyer-seller equation. All of these people work together to complete the sale, which did it there, and there certainly is a sale in every drug conspiracy. The object, obviously, is the sale of narcotics. The sale was between the undercover officer and Mr. Thompson and Mr. Beaverstock, who had procured that customer. There was a sale, but Mr. Rock, Mr. Allman, the cook, Mr. Beaverstock and Mr. Thompson, they're all on the seller side of the equation. They all work together.
To use antitrust terms, Mr. Lamb is an indirect purchaser from Mr. Rock.
That's true. Mr. Rock certainly would benefit from the sale to Mr. Lamb. I mean, that was the sale to Mr. Lamb was the object of the conspiracy. That's how they were going to make money off this venture. But Mr. Rock's involvement in the conspiracy wasn't simply selling methamphetamine to Mr. Lamb. He did much more than that, albeit it was a very short duration. What Mr. Rock did is, when Mr. Beaverstock and Thompson and Mr. Allman come to him, he agrees, okay, I'll get the meth from the cook. But first, you all are going to need to go back, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, in essence, first you're going to have to go back and find out more information about this guy. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with him yet. Then, after he gains a level of comfort with the sale, he says, the next thing is he directs how the payment's going to be. And it's Mr. Rock who sets up this half and half front. And fronting, of course, is evidence of a conspiracy relationship. But it's Mr. Rock who comes up with the idea that we're going to give him half the pound first. He's going to pay us, and then we'll provide him with the second half of the pound. And that's, in fact, how the transaction took place. During the actual sale between Beaverstock and Thompson and Officer Lamb, it's Mr. Rock who directs Mr. Allman to take him to the state forest and kind of oversee the transaction to make sure that it goes through as it's supposed to and make sure nothing bad happens during the transaction, which of course did happen because they were arrested during the middle of what would be called a buy bust.
Following these other people decide to cooperate because it seems that they found Mr. Rock in rather short order.
I think that the undercover officer was able to get a statement from either Mr. Bieberstock or Mr. Thompson shortly thereafter, and a series of state court search warrants ensued at Mr. Rock's house and I think at Mr. Allman's house. Another couple points about the conspiracy evidence, Your Honor, or Your Honors. After the buy bust occurred, it was Mr. Rock who agreed to take the scales from Mr. Allman's house and hide those. It was Mr. Rock who agreed to hide the other half pound of methamphetamine that hadn't been distributed yet. And lastly, it was Mr. Rock who approached the other co-conspirators while they were incarcerated and instructed them essentially not to cooperate and try to keep the conspiracy together for that reason. So, with
okay,
that,
well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to both parties and both lawyers. And the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.